everybody, to another episode of My Comedy Week, the East Coast comedy podcast that absolutely nobody is clamoring for. I'm your host, Andrew Vaughn, and today we have an interesting show, I think, for you guys. I have a little bit of a hiatus. I know. I suck at that. I'm trying to get on a regular schedule, but it's not working. I don't know what the hell's going on in my life. Things are crazy. Things are complicated. And we might touch on that in some of the episode. I was going to do a... I just shoved a quarter pounder down my throat. Woke up a half hour ago. I realized I had to do this podcast and that I had a guest. And like I said, I was going to start off with a nice big rant about something, but it just didn't quite work out that way. I've been drinking and ranting about it all night. So all night last night, all night the night before, all night the night before that, all week before that. And it might come up fluidly in the conversation I'm about to have, but I don't want to make it all about me. I mean, it is my podcast, and I do tend to talk a little bit too much on there and say a lot about what's going on in my life. But I have a guest, and it's a phone-in guest, not one sitting here in the studio. Not that it's much of a studio. We have a drum set that's covered by a blanket. We have a bunch of records that are just strewn among the place, and dirt everywhere. I'm not like an OCD dirty person, but I'm looking at things and going, it's so fucking unclean. Me and a friend of mine were talking the other day about having a maid and having a maid service and just like hiring 300 people with OCD just to clean four houses a week. Just be like, it's never enough. I can't stand it. This is me attempting and failing to be funny alone on the radio. It's not really the radio. I like calling it the radio, but it's not. Anyway. Enough rambling. We're going to give our guest a call here in a second. I'm sure he's anxiously waiting. I'm going to try not to burp into the microphone. I'm just a little bit about this guest. It is a New Brunswick comic. Someone that I thought it would be very interesting to have on the podcast simply because he seems to be a staple in his city so much as that... And so what I mean is that he's been around for a long time. He's seen a lot of different things in his city. He runs his own comedy shows. He's had some issues with some shows and some comics in the past. And I'm going to talk about that. And him and I haven't really had issues, but we've had debates about comedy and comedy philosophy. And I thought that would be where it would be nice and interesting because I don't always agree with him. And I don't think he always agrees with me. But we're going to have him on the show, and we're going to just talk about comedy and what's going on in St. John and get to know more about our guest today, which is, I'm stalling here as I try and fail miserably to dial a phone number into my keypad here. I guess I should just give it out. Like, then the two people that listen to this could call him. All right. My guest, the one and only... Mr. John Forward. Let's give him a call, see what happens. Come on, ring. Ooh, there we go.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hey.
Hey, John, how's it going?
Good, you?
Good, good. We are recording right now.
All right.
Because I didn't know any other way to do it, so I just went right into it. Thank you for coming. You can hear me well and everything.
Yeah,
yeah,
mic's coming through okay.
Yeah, everything's sound good on my end. Thank you for coming on the show today. How you been?
Not too bad. You?
You know, alive.
Very well. I hear you're in some trouble.
a little bit, and it's been a weird week. I am, and I'm not. Like, I'm at the center of this, but none of the people who are angry at me are talking to me. So it's just you're no stranger to having people mad at you, but I don't think in this context are you It's not like a group.
Yeah, not as big a scale. Mostly just people, other comedians. It hasn't reached the general public yet.
Yeah,
they don't know who I am for the most part.
I liked it better when they didn't know who I was. That was the best part.
Yeah.
I liked it better when it was just fighting between comics because we're all stupid and insecure, and we realize we're dumb later, and we probably shouldn't have said what we said and all that sort of shit. And this is just like spiraling and spiraling down. But it's
been... most of us eventually come out of the spiral, but
yeah,
some people like to hang on to it.
I love so funny, and someone on Facebook the other day who's one of the people who were kind of upset at me and some other comics posted this article about, like, men tell sexist and misogynistic and homophobic jokes because they're insecure about themselves, this Huffington Post article. And I was like, yeah, oh, you mean a comedian who's insecure about themselves? Wow, I've never heard of that one before, ever.
Yeah, that's crazy. I thought we were all, like, super confident, and that's why we were talking into microphones.
Yeah.
Begging for the approval of strangers.
Yeah. Do you think there is, because you must get this, too, at shows where people see you do comedy, and then they're like, oh, man, it's so brave that you do that. I hate that word. I don't think it's brave at all.
Yeah, well, because it's not true. Like, I've got a bit where I talk about how, like, the brave part for me is just going to my day job every day and pretending to be a normal person. Like, that's my act when I'm performing on stage. That's kind of just my normal self that I finally get to express, I guess.
Yeah. So
it's almost a relief for me to get up on stage from the bravery that I need to muster just to live my day.
Just to get through the normal shittiness of life and being around people that annoy you all the time and stuff like that. And no, I get that. That's it's totally how I always say stupidity when they're like, it's bravery. I'm like, no, it's stupidity. It's like, why the fuck would anyone want to really do this? It's like, the money sucks. You know?
Yeah.
It's hard to
do.
We
should all know better.
Yeah, Yeah, you like being poor? Yeah, then do comedy. That's fantastic. Especially in Canada. Like, it's the best thing ever. No. How are things going in St. John, New Brunswick? Do you have a show this week or your show?
No.
Or,
no? I've got a show the third Saturday every month at the R Bar. That was 2 weeks ago.
And that's then, No Jokes Barred, right?
Yeah. And then No Jokes Barred Deluxe is at O'Leary's on the first Friday of the month, which ended up being back-to-back weekends this month.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, usually they're spaced out, but yeah, I had this week off mostly from comedy.
Yeah. So was it hard, like, for you to start up No Jokes Barred? Like, did you just go to the bar and was like, I want to do comedy here, and they were just like, okay, we'll see how it goes? Or was it like, did you have to convince them or anything like that?
Well, when I first started doing it, and I've beat this to death on my own podcast and everyone else's already, but the quick version is there was no comedy going on in St. John. Like, Shane Ogden had been putting on shows for a long time, but I didn't even know about them when I was starting out. So I did, like, music open mics, and I thought that my path as a comedian, if I was going to have one, was going to be to kind of just integrate myself into the music scene, which I was more familiar with, and I figured I'd end up like opening for bands and stuff. And then I did a show at the Somerset Pub in St. John that was put on by Lloyd Raven. I didn't know any of these people. I just saw a sign that said open mic, and I thought that meant, oh, you just show up and they'll put you on, which isn't really the case. But Lloyd, he put me up, and that was my first show in front of people that came to a comedy show on purpose.
Yeah.
And then Lloyd added me to the New Brunswick stand-up group on Facebook just because I wanted to know, like, well, who are all these people that were on the show with me? And connected that way. I did a few of the Wilders Room open mics up there, and did another. Shane put on a smaller show at the Somerset also in St. John after I'd done a few Wilders Rooms. And I'd sent to, and this isn't me talking trash to Shane. We've had this conversation. It's cool. But after I'd been doing it for a couple of years, I thought I was a big shot, and my big goal was to do one of Shane's shows. So I sent him a couple of videos from the Wilders Room, and it was I think I did it at Gus's once. It was the one where I yell a lot and I eat a cheeseburger. He reacted to that one in a way that I didn't like, just kind of like the comedy rule book thing of like, oh, you never yell at an audience. But like, that's obvious that it's part of the act. I'm not just like losing my cool. But anyway, it rubbed me the wrong way.
I've never even heard. That's such a weird rule because I've seen so many comics yell at the audience that I'm like, if this is a rule,
well, and
a ton of people
show
are breaking
the Somerset, he pulled me aside like right before I was going to go up and like warned me like to keep it cool, and we don't want to scare these people off. And I knew that the set that I was going to do was going to be pretty clean anyway, so it was just weird. So I got tired of being told what to do, so I made my own show called No Jokes Barred, and I found a shitty dive bar in town that I've like, I went to that same place on a Saturday night, and there was like four people there watching somebody playing an acoustic guitar, and I thought it was pretty low stakes, and if I could bring six people, then they'd be happy with me.
Yeah.
And the guy that owns the bar is like a guy that I went to school with. It's his dad. So I just set up the meeting with him, and he was on board with it. And we've been going there. It'll be 3 years in July.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's very similar to, like, I mean, Gus's was handed down to me, but I always, like, considered it, like, a shitty dive bar. And there weren't very many people in there. And I'm like, well, if I could at least get just a little bit more in and kind of turn it into a place where they know comedy is going to happen on that specific time.
I thought maybe if I could use that place as kind of a starting point and to build a following, and then I can go to a real bar and be like, look what I can do.
Yeah.
But by the time that second offer came around for O'Leary's, I didn't want to give up the original one because it's grown on me, and it's a big part of the scene that's sprung up since I started doing it.
And the no jokes barred, obviously, through you telling the story, was a bit of reaction to being like, oh, you don't have these rules, you don't say this, and don't scare this person off. Now, when you do the shows, is it like, because I haven't, unfortunately, never get the chance to get one. I'm never in the city when one seems to be happening. But, like, I know, obviously, the no jokes barred implies, like, you go up there and you do what you want to do, and you just sort of thing. Yeah. But it's not necessarily, like, go up there and be as controversial as you can be. It's just, like, don't be afraid to do what you want to do.
Yeah, no, clean jokes are also not barred.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the guy that decides, like, what you can and can't talk about. And I want people to try stuff, and if nobody laughs, then that's punishment enough.
Yeah.
I don't need to, like, blacklist anybody or say, oh, well, if that's how you're going to behave, then you're not coming back.
Yeah. Have you ever had to, like, tell any comics that have done your show, like, look, like I just don't know if that's going to work here, or, like, I I'm like you.
If it's not working, that's pretty obvious to everybody involved, so I don't really need to say so.
Yeah, I'm like you, though. Like, I don't like telling comics that come on my open mic stage, like, what you can and cannot do. But I've had a couple instances with people that have just, like, I don't care what you want to joke about. You can have any attempt, but, like, don't tell me that you waited for a 16-year-old girl to pass out at a party and then had sex with her while you're on stage. That, I'm like, maybe that.
Yeah, there's been a few things that have made me, like, tug my collar and be like, maybe I should reconsider this thing. But I always just come back to, if I'm going to call, like, and as I do this with a lot of things, if I'm going to call the show No Jokes Barred, I'm kind of trapping myself in a corner where, like, even if I have that impulse, I got to be like, well, I can't be the No Jokes Barred guy and bar some jokes.
Yeah, so. And you never want to, and as, like, as uncomfortable as it is, you don't want to be like, you never want to, as a comic, you never, ever should, even if you don't agree with the joke, I don't think you should ever come off as like, well, no, I think they're jokes and things that you can't talk about. Like, I just, I don't know if you agree with me with that, but that's just a third thing I'm going through this week. Like, I just noticed the other night a comic that I know from out west is kind of agreeing with the people that are upset at me, and I'm like, "Wait, you're a comic? Like you don't have to like what I said, but you got to understand."
Yeah, and I do have my own rules about, like, myself. There's certain things that I just don't want to talk about, and I'm allowed. I don't mind drawing that line for myself, like. I have some stuff that's offensive, and I've got some stuff that's questionable, but usually the questionable stuff, I'm questioning myself, and it's real thoughts. Like, this is a thing that I thought. I don't have any hate about it, but this is how my stupid brain works. You guys think this is funny?
Yeah. Well, it's all editing, right? Like, comics usually self-edit themselves, but you don't have to imply rules on them. Anyone that knows comedy and does it will say, like, I don't think I want to say that doesn't represent me. It doesn't, it's not what I want to talk about.
Nobody wants to bomb.
No.
Like, sometimes it can be fun, but nobody sets out to do with it. There's a difference between bombing on purpose and just embracing it while it's happening. If somebody was bombing week or month after month after month after month and it still wasn't working out, then I might have a conversation with just for their own sake because they can't be having a good time.
No, I've
had, like, newer comics who had some, like, rape jokes that were not going over well. And I don't really have any rape jokes, but I've got some other stuff that turns people off. Like, I've got some material about having an open relationship that I'm not very likable at all in, and it's kind of dark. And a new comedian was like, how do you pull that off and talk about stuff like that and it still go over well? And, like, I'm not any kind of an expert or anything, but in regarding to his joke, I just said, like, the more fucked up it is, or the more wrong, in quotes, that it is, the bigger hole you're digging yourself out of. And if it's a super offensive joke that's only okay funny, then it's probably not going to go well because you've got that much more of a hole to dig out of.
Mm.
But if you want to put yourself in that hole and you've got a good enough joke to pull yourself out of it, then go for it.
Yeah, you just got to, if you know you're going to go down a topic that's going to be controversial, like you said, you just got to know that the punchline is way worth it and that it's so strong that it doesn't matter what the fuck you're doing leading up to it.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not, and that's part of the process. Like, yeah. it's an open mic and a karaoke bar.
Yeah.
Like, there's no stakes.
Yeah.
No, like, I'm not going to ban you from doing my show if it doesn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody hears one joke that's at a show called No Jokes Bar and Bard and has a freak out about it, then that's kind of their problem.
Yeah,
a bad decision for what they're doing with their night.
I've been listening to your radio show. Do you call it a podcast or a radio show? Because I listen to the podcast version and I keep calling it a podcast, but it starts.
Well, I record it live on the radio and then I put it out as a podcast. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I've been listening to it a lot lately, actually. A couple weeks ago, I listened to one of the first episodes that I'd listened to because. The topic had come up. I noticed you had I'd seen it posted a couple times, but I just never really thought about it. And then I saw in the description you had said you were going to talk about Flyergate, for lack of better words. I'll call it Flyergate. And I was like, okay, because you know, obviously, especially in the Maritimes, like, word travels very fast. You know what I mean? Like, you, for people listening, you went to a Yuck Yuck show and you handed out flyers for No Jokes Barred. And I think within 2 hours of it happening, we had heard about it in Halifax. That's just how ridiculous it is. So when you said you were going to talk about it, I was like, well, fuck, I want to hear what he has to say, right? So I put it on. And we'll get back to that topic in a second because I do want to talk about that. But I've been listening to a lot of your episodes, and I actually really enjoy the show. I think it's interesting. Because, and this is one of the reasons, like, I said this off the top of the show before I called you, I was just on for a couple seconds, but one of the reasons why I have you on is I don't necessarily, sometimes I hear you say something on the show and I don't necessarily agree with it, and I'm sure you've heard me say stuff online or in person about comedy and you don't necessarily agree with it, but I find you very interesting in your approach and what you do, how you do take things, and the radio show's kind of, like, drawn me in to that. It's kind of, like, shown me that other side of you, if that makes any sense. Like, I'm like...
Sure.
I'm like, oh, okay, I feel like I'm getting to know you a little bit better more through your radio show.
Well, that's part of the reason why I wanted to do it. Just, my friend Mark Splood has talked about when he first met me, he didn't think I was all that good of a comedian, but just the more that he gets to know me, the more my material connects with him. And I think because my material is very personal, so I thought that doing a radio show would be a good way for... if I have any fans, then they can actually get to know me so that I guess my material, it should work without any context,
but it's a nice companion
if I get an extra little boost from the context of people knowing a little bit about who I really am.
And, you know, it's like I said, it's a nice little companion piece, I think. It doesn't necessarily need to be heard to get your jokes, but it kind of helps. Now, one thing I'm wondering, which I'm thinking about you when I listen to your radio show, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I find that a lot of the times stuff you say on the show, if someone was taking it the wrong way, I think it's because they're not understanding that you're joking. Am I correct? Like, I feel like you have a very dry, at least on the radio show, sometimes you'll say stuff and it's very dry and it comes off as if you're being, like, super serious about a subject. And like, especially when you talk about if you have a problem with somebody or something like that and you come up with little nicknames and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's very dry. It's just a dry... darker.
Yeah, I can see that, and part of me embraces that because I think it's funny when I say something that, like, to me, any reasonable person would hear this and not take it too seriously or know that I'm saying it, like, tongue in cheek. And when they do have a reaction, I get off on it a little bit. I enjoy that. When I was in university, before I ever did any stand up, I did this, like, hardcore gangster rap character named MC Crosswalk. when I would, like, see people online on a message board get all pissed off and, like, call me a wigger and stuff, I was like, perfect. you think that this is really, like, my fantasy is I want to be some, like, hardcore, like, womanizing, murdering people gangster rapper. I'm like, okay, I did my job then.
Yeah. I used to do a character when I went to St. Thomas University where I would make prank phone calls and I was MC Fat Busy. because I was fat and I liked to get busy, and I would just call radio, would call the record stores and see if they had my album in it, and then chastise them for not having it. So, just, anyway, that's beside the point. We both were trying to be black rappers, and we weren't good at it at all.
Yeah.
But no, like
I wasn't bad. I had moments.
Oh yeah, but like I said, I think that's interesting. You say like they don't understand. You said like reasonable people, if they heard, they would understand what you're trying to say, and I think that's like. I discovered that personally just through listening to the show. You know what I mean? Like I said, like for example, here's the starting point. Let's go back to what I just called the Flyer Gate, for example. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing about this and people going, someone came up to me and goes, oh, did you hear John Forward was outside of Yuck Yucks handing out flyers? I'm like, well, that's kind of stupid. Like, why would somebody do that? Right. And then I listened to the show and I'm like, and then, oh no, someone had said to me too, and he's like, oh, and he's got a picture up on his Facebook where he's like, let the invasion begin. And or something like that,
and getting ready for ambush.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of stupid. Why are you poking the bear type of thing? It was my first reaction, right? And then I listened to your show and I'm like, well, obviously getting ready to ambush is a joke. Like, it's not, you're not like, all right, we're gonna take
well, it
down
doesn't
the
change what I'm doing. I stood outside and handed out some flyers regardless of what wording I used on an Instagram post. It doesn't really change the actual thing that I did.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is listening to your show, it kind of put things a little more in context with me, for me personally, right? And I'm not necessarily sure if that's something that I would do, but I'm not saying like, fuck you for doing it. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it is what
it
is.
Most people haven't been. You may have heard some things, but as far as I've heard, there's only three people that I'm aware of that had any kind of a problem with it. Most people either don't care or they say good for you for doing it. And If I've got an opportunity and there's a few hundred comedy fans walking through an alley in a weekend, I put on a comedy show. Why not?
I
did it because I thought it was a good idea. I didn't ask permission because I didn't. The only reason I wouldn't do it is because I'd be worried about stepping on somebody's toes and getting in trouble. Yeah. But I was already at a point where I was not like, who cares? It's not gonna. I didn't really have anything to lose because I had just found out that they don't even trust me enough to do a 5-minute guest spot. So I would much rather perform on the show. And then afterwards, people, if they come up and talk to me and say that they enjoyed my stuff, I'll tell them where else they can see me. But if I don't have that avenue, I might as well make my own.
Yeah. That's an interesting point too, because like I've heard some people say like, oh, well, no, the proper way to do it is to do a guest spot, and as they introduce you, say he runs his own show at blah, 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 blah. But if you're not even given the opportunity to do the guest spot, it's like, how do you do it the proper way? You know what I mean? It's like
yeah, and I know I had a bad show, like one of the three when I did Halifax, and I was more than willing to do guest spots to kind of prove myself, but as I came to find out months later, that wasn't even an option for me. So what do I got to lose?
Yeah. Now, I will tell you on that front, on the Halifax, you know, the bad show in Halifax, just because I'm based in Halifax and I know I wasn't there that weekend. I didn't see the show. It wasn't just you who I heard had a very bad set that night. I was privy to a little information, not from a comic, but from what head office had received as a report, and they were not very happy with the headliner that night either.
He did well. I was in the room. He got a standing ovation at the end. I pretty much got. I'm curious. Like, don't sugarcoat it.
No.
I mean, what did you hear about my terrible set that night?
You
don't have to say who or.
No,
what,
I heard. Well, I mean, everything comes in different stages too, right? You know what I mean? Like, someone's in the room and then they go, oh my God, this just happened. And then this person adds a little something to it. But then the ultimate thing that I heard from, I'm not going to lie. I saw a bit of the report that was sent to Yuck Yucks. Mm-hmm. That's why I was saying about the headliner, because there was a lot in the report too that mentioned how unprofessional and how shitty the headliner, not necessarily had been on stage all weekend, but anyway, I don't want to. I'm not naming him because I'm not trying to start shit and blah 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 blah. But I had heard that there was a fundraiser table there, and and that they just were not enjoying you, and they left, and they wanted to rebook, or they wanted their money back or something like that. And it sort of came down to, I honestly think if there wouldn't have been a fundraiser there, I don't think there wouldn't have been that big of a deal. You know what I mean? I think it came down to they make good money off of fundraisers. Yeah. They want a reputation as being the place to go to get fundraisers for comedy. And I think that this table, because fundraisers are tricky. I mean, you could be a really good comic and piss off a fundraiser. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, it wasn't just a table. From my memory, I think it was most of the room.
Fundraiser. Yeah. But that's what I heard. I just heard the fundraiser people were upset. And then that at one point you had said, like, and I think you talked about this on your show before, too, where you're like, well, do you want me to just go? And they were like, yes. And that's, and we were like, oh, why would you do that, right? But, again, if you're in a sinking ship, you may as well, right? Like, it's not.
And that's part of the paranoia of it in the moment. I didn't know what the expectation was. Should I have just tried and failed to win these people back, or just gotten the fuck out of there and bring back up Ian, who they were enjoying?
Yeah.
And afterwards, there's the spiral. Like, I don't know, did somebody send a report off to head office, which ended up being the case, or do I need to worry about this being like a black mark on my record? And everybody that I asked about it was like, oh, no big deal. Everybody has a bad night. But I find out later that it was.
Yeah, that's the one thing that is weird to me about the whole thing, because I've been thinking a lot about that lately, just in preparation of getting ready to talk to you. And I knew this was a topic that I kind of wanted to approach with you, is that everybody does, like, not everybody can have one of those nights, and it doesn't really usually blacklist you from a comedy club. I mean, it's not like you got up there and you did a Michael Richards routine. You know what I mean? Like you tried your jokes. They weren't working for whatever reason. And that was that. And they weren't happy and they had to rebook a fundraiser, which was why all I can really kind of gather is maybe it was just the money thing. You know what I mean? Like, they were like having to.
Well, it could be. What rubs me the wrong way about Yuck Yucks is that, like you said, they want to be the place that people want to bring their fundraiser to, but they're also advertising themselves as like raw, uncut, uncensored comedy.
Yeah.
They're kind of trying to have it both ways.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't, and it's not like somebody told me ahead of time, like, this is a fundraiser and we want to make sure that these people have a good time. They're not your usual crowd. Tone it down. I would have been pissed off about that too, but at least they would have been straight and I would have made an attempt. But I just showed up on Saturday night and they told me what was going on, and I made a decision. The material that I did the first two nights worked, and this is an uncensored comedy club.
Yeah.
So, like, and part of the reason why it took me so off guard that I did just kind of bail and say, you guys want me to get out of here, was because the two bits that I did, I've never, ever, ever, ever bombed with them. Like, those were my two most crowd-pleasing, like, they're dirty, but...
Yeah.
I've always done well with them, so it took me off guard that, like, what? Not even this one?
Yeah. No, and the thing is that, I'm trying to still kind of figure out, like, it all, because, like you said, the report and blah, blah, blah. The reports are done every weekend. Like, they're supposed to send a report on every show, on every comic.
That's something I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, yeah. But usually it's like, it's, you know, I don't know if they're done every weekend. I'm just told that they're supposed to be. That's all. And then sometimes she'll ask the headliner, what did you think of the people in a new theater? Like, the girl at the head office will ask. But I guess the point I wanted to bring it up too is, I don't know if you're interested or if you care at all, but I do want to let you know there are a couple comics I know from Halifax, and I'm not naming names, that have had similar instances happen where they've gone up and done pretty and gotten a report that came back that said they didn't do very well, and they were told, well, you know what, we, you know, this is a paid show, people are paying money to get in, we can't have that lull in the show. And those people, it took a while, but those people were eventually, like, they're sending videos to head office and emails. They were like, oh, okay, well, you know what, everyone grows, here's a chance, come back. Now, I'm not saying that's an avenue you want to explore, but I just want to let you know, it is possible. I don't think you're going to be...
I was more, like, I understand the decision and that they're running a business. What pissed me off more was just the local guy who knew that this was the case and was looking me in the eye for several months while I was trying to brown nose and play nice and not tell me, like, and I just got a guess as to, I guess she just didn't see my email or whatever.
Yeah, that's frustrating, yeah.
I should note that even after all of this, it surprised the hell out of me. On Wednesday, I got an email offering me a middle spot for a weekend in May, which I had plans that weekend, so I politely declined.
Yeah.
And I would do it. I'm at a point where I'm not going to beg for it anymore, and I'm going to I don't want to bomb on purpose.
No.
I'm also done walking on eggshells and worrying about getting in trouble.
Yeah.
It seems
yeah.
very fickle. So either they don't give a shit about anything that's going on and they book me anyway, or, it was a very surprising email to receive.
But, like, it's interesting, too. It's because, like, you've had this experience happen, then you hand out the flyers and stuff like that, and people are like, and you said, like, I don't give a shit, and blah, blah, blah. You're not, people might be like, oh, well, he's just being anti-yuck-yucks and blah, 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 and blah. But you're really not, because people don't know this. You contacted me when they were opening, just simply because you had so many comics being like, how do you get in? And you were like, hey, I want to give them advice. Can you tell me how they go about getting guest spots? And if you really were like, fuck them and fuck the club and fuck the giant chain and fuck this, you would be like, fuck you. I don't give a shit how you get a guest spot. Figure it out on your own. Like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I always told, like, no matter how upset I am with anybody, I whatever beefs that I'm in, I don't expect any of the other comics, whether they're friends with me or not, to like fall on the sword for me.
Yeah,
and they should take whatever opportunities they got coming their way.
Yeah, so you you must have seen a lot of people start comedy then in St. John, since you started the only room. You must, like, you know, you there
yeah.
must be people
well,
that are
like,
doing
whatever,
it
whatever the stuff that was going on first wasn't, none of them were really an avenue where somebody could do their first set.
Mm-hmm.
There are other options now, but there have been a lot of people that come through, and part of me, like, I don't want to act like I'm some kind of a big shot or anything, but I just expected to be wooed by the club a little bit more, since they are getting better with booking local people, but a lot of some of those people, certainly not all of them, wouldn't be doing comedy if I didn't give them a place to do it.
Well, especially like as a resource, at least, for you, like, because I'm sure
I'm giving them stage time that they can practice to do well on their stage and make them money.
And you know who they are, like, you know what they're capable of, you know what their level's at, like, how much time they can do, how much time maybe they shouldn't do, and stuff like that. So I don't understand. That should definitely be something.
Despite anything that's happening, if Steve or anybody in head office reached out to me and said, what do you think about this comedian?
Mm-hmm.
Then I would help them out and I would give my fair take on it.
Yeah. I don't think
I'm not trying to go up against them.
No.
I just, a lot of people in St. John don't know that anything other than that exists.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get it out there, and handing out flyers did not translate to a big swell of attendance for the show that I put on.
Well, it's funny too, because it's like, I understand on one side of the argument, people are like, I've heard this, you probably heard this too, it's this old trite, like, well, you don't go to McDonald's and hand out Burger King flyers, right? Like, but at the same time, there's been so many instances in comedy that I can think of. One, for example, I was told about multiple times is Darren Rose, when he used to run a show in Toronto, would, instead of paying for advertisements in like their version of the Coast, which I think is called like Now or something like that, he would just go around to each thing, take them out, and slip his advertisements into them and put them back. Stuff like that. Or it's happened here in Halifax. I remember, like, everyone, it's funny to me when people, this is what opened my eyes, it's funny to me when people in Halifax are like, why would you go to Yuck Yucks and handle flyers? That seems like a stupid thing. But they forget that, like, flashback, I think a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, somebody had went to Beerly's and put flyers for a 22 minutes comedy show that was happening in a different location at a different time on the tables. And at the time, it wasn't Catherine Robertson who was running Beerly's, but the previous guy running it freaked out. And all the comics were like, well, why are you freaking out? It's just another comedy show. Aren't we supposed to support the whole community? And now I just find it funny. You flash forward to now present day and people are like, well, why the fuck would you give out flyers? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you can't have it one way or the other. You got to have an opinion or just be like, oh, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, you know?
Yeah, and none of those people I was handing out flyers to, not a single one of them, were like, what are you doing out here? This is unethical.
Yeah.
I shook a lot of hands and I had good conversations with people and made some people laugh. And even if they didn't come to that specific show, I've made that connection with them. And maybe they see me on Facebook or a sponsored ad or something for one of my shows and they think, oh, yeah, that thing. Or they find my flyer in the bottom of their purse in 6 months and say, oh, yeah. Like, that's all it was. And I was a little disappointed. I was expecting like to pack the house for that show I was handing out flyers for, and we had a good turnout, but I don't think any of them came as a result of my flyering.
Yeah,
but I met a lot of people that weekend, and I think part of it, and I kind of ingratiated myself to the other comics. The other comics, they kind of yuck yucks made me into a martyr by complaining about it. And there's a lot of people that are kind of like, yeah, fight the power, which wasn't what I was trying to do, but I'll take it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's attention, right? It brings attention to your show and everything like that. In the end run of things, you guys have New Brunswick as a whole is an interesting, it's always been interesting to me, comedy-wise, because you guys have more comedy there now in New Brunswick than you've ever had, but it's still not, in my opinion, still not enough. I'm not trying to sound condescending or anything like that. It's just, I don't know if you could have more, if the area support it, but like in order in terms of growth for comedians, it's not enough stage time. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just seems to me it's like it should be everybody. It doesn't matter if it's the big corporation or the guy who's running an independent comedy show. Everybody should be supportive of everybody since you're growing and there isn't that much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I put at the R Bar, there's TVs set up, and I've got like on a loop a bunch of comedy posters. I don't put Yuck Yucks on there just because they've got enough advertising budget. But I put Shane shows up there, and if there's any other one-off things going on around town, I put them up on my screen.
Yeah.
Even Yuck Yucks, when they were doing the on-tour shows before the club opened, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure I had their posters up on my rotation too.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't ask me to do that either, and I don't expect them to pat me on the back for it, and it might not have made any difference, but I don't mind supporting other people.
No.
Comedy fans want to see more comedy, so
yeah, well,
I'm just telling people what exists. I'm not trying to say come to my thing instead of that one.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny when you're like, oh, we did have more people there, but it wasn't the swell. It's like attendance is so hilarious to me at comedy shows sometimes where it's like sometimes it's really good. And then, what was it, 1 week, I think last week, I guess it's because it was a holiday, but the week before, there was, like, six people there, and I just got on stage, and I was like, I just want everyone to know this isn't because of any boycott or protest, and if they think it is, they're delusional, this is par for the course. Like it's 1 week we'll have 35, the next we'll have two. That's kind of what it is, you know? So in St. John, you've talked a little bit about this on your show before. But just for my audience, if I have any, which I don't think I do, but let's just pretend that I do.
Well, you've got me on. So
okay. It's exactly. I'm going to get the John Ford bump, which is really why I'm doing it, to be honest. I was like, I got to get him on here and get that.
Yeah.
Big...
Put a picture of me with like shifty eyes, evil flyer.
Just like, I'm going to Photoshop you posting flyers on a big wall with like a police light shining on you. Like you just
putting
get
it
caught
on the headliner's face in the middle of his set at the show.
I'm sure I'm going to have some people that, you know, I try to be as friendly with everybody as I can, but I'm an asshole too, so I tend to have problems.
Well, we should be able to be assholes, and we should be grown up enough about it to have a conversation after the fact.
It gets to a point where, like, when you're arguing, like, one thing I do like about your show is you have had people on your show. Like, even this week, you had,
Rudy Windsor.
And you had said that you and him had problems before. But you're like, I want to bring him on the show and talk about it.
Yeah. And well, if I'm going to be complaining about getting blacklisted all the time, I should probably take my own advice and wipe my own blacklist clean.
Yeah.
He was the only one on it, so.
Yeah. Which brings me back to something I wanted to. What did he do? What did he get offended by? If you don't mind saying, feel like, it's in the past, fuck it, I don't want to talk about it, I get it, but I'm just curious as a listener.
Just to summarize, he did a set at the R Bar, and it was fine. It was a decent first set. And then a few months later, he wanted to do another spot, and he sent me a message on Facebook, and I agreed. But then this was like at 7:30 in the morning, we got into like a long, drunk back and forth where he was just arguing with me that... I told him like he'd probably be on either between 9:10 and 9:15, depending on how much time I do off the top, because he'd be going first. And he was arguing with me and insisting he wanted to do like 9:20, and It was weird. And then a few hours later, he must have gone to bed and woke up again, sobered up, and looked at it and apologized. I'm like, okay, we all have a bad day. And then that weekend, he came to the show. He wasn't performing. And another comic did a joke about, and again, this was just like a shock humor. It was funny in the context. I don't remember what the joke was, but it was something about like a Holocaust and a molestation thing, something about molesting 6 million Jews or something. It was an offensive joke. But he was like, oh yeah, that's real fun, like from the back of the room, just like complaining about it, and it kept going, and people kept trying to tell him to be quiet, and then he'd get, every time somebody tried to quiet him down, he got more and more angry and was like almost gotten into a fist fight with a couple of people.
Oh, Jesus.
And then months later, somebody was talking about something on Facebook about offensive jokes, and he was in there in the conversation chiming in, and I went in there, and the only thing I said was, you're allowed to be offended by a joke, but if you feel the need to bring it up with the comic, wait until after the show. What you did, Rudy, was out of line. And I said his name because I figured that to be direct would be better than just be like, well, one time this guy, because he was right in the conversation. And then he just unleashed on me, and there was like 25 posts that a lot of people that I didn't think were paying attention to the St. John comedy scene sent me messages like, that was fucking insane. Who the fuck is that guy? And I didn't even need to fight back because he just was like, just 20 posts of just craziness. And then I just stopped. I just ignored him from then on out. And he was kind of scurrying around trying to get stage time with elsewhere, but he kind of found out that I was the only game in town. And then he came crawling back, and I just ignored him because I was still pissed off and being a dick about it. And then just one day I decided, you know what, this is stupid. Like, I'd seen him out at shows, and I never really talked to him, and I just felt bad. Like, whatever, what do I have to gain from hanging on to this? So I tried to send him a message to offer him a spot, and realized he had blocked me. So I sent a message to his girlfriend, and then that's how that started. So he did a show on the Saturday, and we got talking after the show, and I invited him on to my radio show, and I told him, like, if you're gonna come on, I wanna get into it. I'm not out to get you, but I want to have a conversation. He was a little reluctant, so we set up a safe word that in case the conversation went down any path he didn't want to continue on, that I was going to respect, but didn't end up needing it.
I thought it was because I didn't know who he was, and I was listening to it. I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I just didn't know. And in the first few seconds of him talking, I thought he was an older black gentleman, like, because his voice was a little like. And then I looked up his picture. I'm like, oh, it couldn't be further from the truth at all. Like I was like, nope. But I like that you're like, no, let's just come on and talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's stupid to have. I mean, it's one thing to have disagreements, but it's stupid to have them go on. Especially, you guys are gonna see each other around. You know what I mean? Like it's like. Do you want all that? I mean, you've had Shane on the show. You guys listened to that, where you guys talked about your issues in the past. And I know you still have some problems with some people. And unfortunately, I just think it's ridiculous. Just, you know, I'm not saying everybody has to get along, but you guys are, from my perspective, and I think this is kind of shitty that I'm saying this, I'll be honest with you, but from my perspective from Halifax, I'm like, you guys need to shut the fuck up and work together. And try to get along as best as possible. And I say I think it's shitty from my perspective, because why the fuck should I tell you guys what you should and shouldn't do? You know, it's like.
Well, I don't disagree with you, but I think for a long time we were all shutting up and trying to get along, but things would just simmer.
Yeah.
And stuff would be happening, and nobody was really talking about it. And I think I would rather have the fight about it and get it over with and know where everybody stands than to have everybody just walking on eggshells and pretending like nothing's wrong.
I think that's kind of what I meant. I meant by, like, get it out there and then shut the fuck up and move along. Like, you know, just kind of get over it. And the only way you can do that is by talking to each other, like, is what you're trying to do.
I want to be transparent about it. I'll take responsibility for any stupid shit that I do to myself. But just this, what I don't like is the kind of just block everybody on Facebook so that nobody can interact with each other directly. We're all just getting third-hand screenshots from each other and making veiled comments on podcasts and stuff. I'd rather just have it out.
That's so funny, too, about the blocking. Like, I do it sometimes, but it's like you block someone. Like, I had to block somebody recently. It was just a whole issue. I had to block them. And then I went on my block list, and I'm looking at, like, there's, like, maybe 8 on there, and I'm like, I have no idea who the fuck these other 7 are. Like, I don't know why I blocked them. But then, like, you block this person because you have to, and then people just send you screen caps anyway. And you're like, I thought I'm blocking this person because it's too frustrating to have them in my life. Why the fuck are you now putting them back in my life? Like, it's just, it's, the internet is terrible. It's awful. I'm beginning to hate it more and more every fucking day. I just,
I don't know how I feel about getting the screenshots, because, like, part of me thinks that my life would be much easier if I just didn't know, but part of me also, if somebody's talking shit about me, I kind of do want to know about
it. Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm like, part of me just wants, like, I don't want to, like, especially with the stuff going on in my life right now, there's part of me that's just like, I just want to unfollow all the posts, and I don't want to say anything about it, and I don't want to anything like that. But then part of me is like, oh, there's a new comment. I got to make sure that I know what's on going on and what's being said. And
yeah, I'll unfollow people left and right if they're just annoying me.
Yeah.
That's fine. But it just gets weird when you see, like, Facebook posts and it's like 17 comments and you can see like 5 of them. Like, oh, there's something juicy going on in here and I can't see it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's ridiculous to me. It's just the blocking and all this stuff. And I don't know. But it was, you know, you had said, like, you don't necessarily disagree with what I was saying there with the shut up and move on. I find it's interesting that there are issues with you and other people sometimes, because I think you and I have discussed a couple topics privately, and I've never found you to be all that unreasonable to discuss differences of opinion with.
Like, yeah, no, I'm always up for hearing. I want to hear from people that I disagree with, because it's boring to just have a circle jerk.
Yeah, because I think,
talk to people that are, yeah, you're right. Yeah, yes, I agree.
Yeah,
like, that's boring.
Yeah. Because I think it's not like I say last as if it just happened, but it happened a while ago, is I had made some joke about, or some comment post, because this is one of the things that bothered me about people calling themselves comedians before I feel like they earn it. And you were like, oh, I don't know why that's an issue for you. And I don't think we had an argument back and forth. I think you said your part, and I listened to it, and I said my part, and you listened to it, and we were just kind of like, all right, like, I see where you're coming from, but I personally am not going to, my opinion's not necessarily changed. I think it's like a badge that you have to earn, but I do understand what you're saying about them weeding themselves out, because they do.
Yeah.
The bad ones do weed themselves out.
Well, and I think, well, something like that, I think what rubs people the wrong way about me is when I sent you the message, just because I didn't want to derail and get into a Facebook fight, because I wasn't really sure where, we don't know each other that well, so I didn't really know where we stand.
Yeah.
But when I say, why do you think this, I'm not saying it as like, what are you, some kind of fucking idiot? I really want to know why you think that.
Yeah,
I want to know your side of it, and maybe you think something that never occurred to me before, and I'm willing to change my point of view. I can respect your end of it. You didn't say anything that changed my mind.
No, and
mostly just because I'm kind of the who gives a shit side of that argument.
Yeah.
That's a hard one to come out of.
Yeah. I just, and I agree, and like, I didn't take it as like, you know, I understood, well, you explained in the private message, you're like, I don't want this to turn into a giant Facebook comment thread, so if we,
well,
I just,
some people,
keep it.
You can't ask, why do you think that, because they take it as like, the first shot in some war. Like,
because they're
I'm curious, why do you think that?
And it goes back to the internet thing, they're not hearing tone, you know what I mean? Like, if we were all sitting around in a circle, or standing around, and I said, I hate when people call themselves comedians, and they don't earn it, and you're like, yeah, but why, right? Then nobody.
Yeah, I wouldn't even think twice about asking you, like, face to face.
Yeah,
but I didn't want to turn into a Facebook thing.
Yeah, but if you said it to me in person in front of other people, yeah, but why do you feel that way? No one in that group is going to turn and go, "What the fuck do you mean, man? Why are you fucking bringing like because they understand your tone and they understand that it's the curiosity, like you said. But online, you write something, and even if you, it's not your fault that they don't understand your tone. It's the fault of the technology and the people and their opinions about you, or your opinions about the situation that they bring to it, that really makes that just go off. So I didn't care. I was
like,
fuck it.
I'm not blameless. Like, I've gone to therapy, and part of what I've talked about is knowing, like, even if I'm not wrong, I want to understand better why, when I say something the way that I say it, that it causes this reaction in other people. It doesn't mean that their reaction is the correct one, but if I have a better understanding of what things I say that leads to that reaction, then I can, if I want to, I can choose to steer away from that, or I can lean into it, whatever. I like to be self-aware, so I want to know what it is about me mouthing off creates this big fucking shitstorm every time.
Yeah, I know. Therapy, that must be, how's that for your comedy? Is it helping?
I not on stage. I think it's helped me so far just be better at not getting worked up about stuff that's not worth getting worked up about.
Yeah.
Which I think will help it. But so far I haven't been going for very long. Yeah. Mostly it's just been so far, like, I went through a stage where I was talking mostly about, because I had a lot of conflicts in my life, and just kind of going through that, and it's the kind of thing, and I've said it on an older episode of the radio show, like, part of me thinks that, oh, these people just don't, I'm just a truth teller, and I say how it is, and they don't like it, which, maybe, but if that happens a lot, I'm the common denominator, and maybe I'm the asshole. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know if that was the case, and my therapist was like, I'd explain the situation, and given it was only my one side, they were like, oh yeah, that person's a lunatic. You did what you did. You can't, there's no need to worry about it too much, but I do take more responsibility for when I am in the wrong, but it also helps me to let go of it when it's just some other person with more shit going on, and this is just the thing that set them off. So I've come to terms with the conflicts. I'm not too worried about that these days, and I try to quash them when I can.
Yeah.
And then more recently, like, I've had, like, work issues and stuff that I've been going through. But I think long term, I want to use therapy as just kind of a digging up, like, this is all my baggage, and I, as a storyteller, it might help me think of something that I could talk about on stage that I wouldn't have gone down that path otherwise, and maybe just give me a new perspective on stuff that I already do talk about. Just on stage, nobody's going to be like, really, John, is that how it happened?
Yeah.
But if I've got somebody that will kind of push back and call me on my bullshit, it might give me a different perspective on things, which I think is going to benefit it in the long run.
Yeah. I've been wanting to do therapy for years just because I like talking about my life. Like, I just want someone to listen to me for an hour that's not a comedy thing, like, where I can just bitch and then have them go, well, maybe this is not what you should do, or this is this, and it sounds so nice. But I don't even know how to
fucking
get it.
Yeah, I think just being more self-aware is good for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you got the comedy scene in St. John. You talked about this a bit on your show before. To me, it's like, you know, James Mullinger comes in to St. John and Yuck Yucks comes into St. John. And I do feel like it's the Maritimes in general. I don't think it's just St. John or New Brunswick, of that, you know, attention gets brought to it when it is something from the outside, or when somebody leaves and comes back. And that's always been a frustrating point, not to knock any of, you know, those people, but it's been a frustrating thing for me. My entire comedy career is just like, well, what about the people that were always here? What about the people that stay here? Like, and that, you know, you only seem to give press and attention or care about people when they leave and come back, or when they come here from a different place or something like that. And was it an adjustment? Or like, it certainly brought a lot of attention to the St. John comedy scene and the New Brunswick comedy scene. But is there any real tension in the scene, do you think, because of all that stuff? Or is it just like, you know what, it's here now, there's a tension on us, so let's just make the most of it?
Well, the various factions aren't really talking to each other, so it's hard to tell. But the way that I see it is there's all this other stuff that is geared towards a different audience.
Yeah.
Like, my show is not the one aimed at, like, the professional couple that wants to go out and have a nice date night.
Yeah.
Which, if they want to come, then great, but that's not the market that I'm chasing. But it's just frustrating because all of this talk about how amazing the St. John comedy scene is and how it's blowing up and all this stuff, which I think it is, but the only part that anybody hears about is, oh, the guy from London moved here, and that's a big deal, or Yuck Yucks is coming here, and that's a big deal, or CBC is coming to record something here, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Nobody, the words No Jokes Barred are not uttered in any of those articles about anything, and that's disappointing, because there are people that have the media's ear, and it would be nothing to say, oh, this stuff is going on that's great, like this, and No Jokes Barred, and this, and like, that's disappointing that it doesn't happen, but I'm trying to just stop waiting for somebody else to let me ride their coattails, and I want to make my own opportunities,
And
I tried to reach out to somebody to write an article about No Jokes Barred, which then they found out about all the comedy beefs going on, and that's the direction that she wanted to go. With, I'll talk about it if I have to. I'd rather just talk about my own thing.
Is this sensationalist journalism bullshit that these young fucking journalists want? Like, I know it's just because it's going on in my life, but these young journalists, they all want this hot topic, fucking, you know, like, oh, I want to talk about the con. Well, you know, it's just.
Nobody wants to talk about, no, comedian is funny at doing comedy.
Comedian
this guy
moved to
St. John from London to do comedy, or this guy has this day job, but he does comedy on the side. Like, who cares?
Yeah, it's frustrating. Like, I remember years ago putting on, like, a little mini tour with some comics and contacting, like, the local, like, you know, independent newspaper here, The Coast, in Halifax, and being like, hey, like, you know, like, we got the show and this is our first time doing it and we're really excited and I'm just wondering if, like, there's any way we can get coverage. And then they never responded. And then, like, a couple times more, I would reply to, like, write to them about things coming up and be like, hey, look at this, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, this year when I finally got to talk to them and they were like, well, there's a big rift between us and the comedy scene and we don't know why. And I'm like, because you never give us any fucking attention. And they're like, well, we can't cover everything, you know? And I'm like, I read your fucking paper. Like, don't give me that excuse. Like, it's sitting there that you don't need to cover. So don't give me this whole, like, oh, we can't cover everything. Because it's local. They don't care. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to have this big name or come from away or something like that. And it's just, it gets very frustrating. But at the same time, you're right, where you just got to kind of, like, let that all go and just focus on...
Does all the shit going on with your jokes that you made on the podcast? Has that given you, like, basically, like, oh, there's no such thing as bad media attention?
No, I don't like that.
I would think the people that you don't want to come anyway are gonna read about that and be like, I don't want to come see that guy. Like,
well, yeah, that's true.
Do you find there's anybody that's like, oh, he's the one that's gonna say what he wants? I want to go to that show.
I don't know. Like, a lot of people have said that to me, like, hey, like, they said, like, hey, you never know. It might help people be like, it might get your name out there. It might help people want to come see your show. I understand the no press is, all press is good press or, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's just from a personal standpoint, there's been so many lies said about me and things taken out of context that it's so hard for me to see that right now. Because I just want to correct and my big thing right now is, like, I'm being attacked for these jokes that I said on a podcast, which were not good jokes. They were just stupid fucking jokes, but they weren't offensive. They were just dumb jokes, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't even my act. And so The Coast writes this article and they review my act, not what was said on the podcast. And I'm like, well, you didn't give me an opportunity to talk about my act. You asked me to talk about the podcast, which I declined. And then you review my act. Like, those to me are two completely separate different things. If you want to talk about my act, I'll talk about it all goddamn day. Like, I don't give a shit, right? Like, but I just am so frustrated.
I've got a few questions about that whole thing.
Go ahead.
First off, that happened, that was the company house, right?
It
was a podcast. Do you guys record that before the show or after?
Before the show.
The company house is the show that their Facebook has a gigantic list of rules and regulations. Is that right?
Yes.
So this kind of reaction doesn't seem all that surprising to me. Like, I think as soon as you get into, well, this is what we're allowed to talk about on our show, it kind of gives those people that have strong opinions on what should and shouldn't be done, like, it makes them think that anyone gives a shit what they think.
Yeah. I never thought about that.
And this reaction isn't surprising.
Yeah. I never thought about that because I had, when the rules and regulations were posted, I initially made it known to the people, the two people at the time who were running it. Now it's one person that I thought that was bullshit and that I would not abide by those rules. And I'd say whatever the fuck I wanted to say on stage. If you didn't like it, you can just don't have me on the fucking show. Right. And yeah. They were like, oh, we weren't talking about you. It's this one person in particular that we're having a really hard time because he's just, he's, you know, sitting
there. Then they should be talking to that one person in particular.
Yeah, exactly. So then I just kind of forgot that those rules were even fucking posted, to be honest with you, until they got brought up again during the controversy. Like I was like, oh, shit, yeah, those dumb rules I don't agree with. Like, oh, fuck
like,
me.
When I see a list of rules, I'm thinking, like, to, for lack of a better term, the social justice warriors. If they see that, they're like, okay, this is the safe space comedy show. I'm going to come here and I'm not going to hear anything that I don't like. Yeah. And then there's some trans jokes and then they don't like it. And then, but I don't know. Like calling my show No Jokes Barred is kind of, in some way, sort of its own trigger warning. Yeah. If you're a person that requires such a thing, then this might not be the show for you. Yeah. And but when you have a list of rules, then there's the expectation, like, no, this is going to be, everybody's going to be woke. They're not going to say anything that that you're going to get upset. No rape jokes. We measure our humor by whether or not you can say it at your grandmother's funeral. So no worries.
And the thing is, if the issue was that someone had come to the show or someone was like, hey, there's a comedy podcast from Laugh House. I want to see what that's like. And then they listened to it and they were offended. I'd still be like, well, I still wouldn't apologize. I still would have issues with why they're offended. The problem is there's a lot more to the story that the general public doesn't know about, which we're only now allowed to start talking about, because it's getting too crazy. The people that are upset with what was said on the podcast purposely went looking for things to be upset about because they had a grudge with the owner of the place for over a year now that had nothing to do with comedy. They bar used to be owned by a lesbian couple, and the lesbian couple sold it to a straight person, and there's members within the gay, trans, lesbian, queer community that think it should have never been sold to a straight person and have been trying to get it taken away from a straight person since she bought it. And that's the underlying issue that has nothing to do with comedy. They just use comedy as a catapult to kind of like get it shut down. You know, they, and other things people don't know, they've sent death threats to the owner and about the owner's family, which is like over jokes. That's ridiculous. They told us that we could continue to do comedy if we submitted all our jokes to them for approval first, which is, my opinion, fascism. Like, this is ridiculous. You know, it's like, so if it had been somebody who just like off the street heard it and was upset, I'd be like, you know, I'm sorry that you're upset, but let's talk about it. And we offered to talk about it, but they didn't want to. You know what I mean? Like, but so I see your point.
Why didn't you agree to the interview? Like, were you because if you don't, all they've got is your stuff he said on the podcast or your act to pull quotes out of context. You would have had a little bit more control if you just had the conversation with them, wouldn't you?
There were two reasons why I said I wouldn't do the interview. One, because the person who asked to do the interview, I Googled her to find out what she had written before or to make sure that she was an actual journalist. And the only article that she had ever written for The Coast was written, co-written with the person who was trying to get a boycott at the company house.
Okay.
So I said to her in my email, I said, there's two things going on here. One, I cannot talk about, which is the stuff I just told you about, because I was being asked not to talk about it, the death threats and all that stuff.
Right.
And two, I don't, you're friends with the people that are trying to get us shut down. So I don't trust you to present things in a fair way. And I was like, if it was somebody else who had no ties to these people, I'd be more than happy to do an interview. And then she said, well, I understand what you, she's like, I understand how you feel. I'm going to come see the show. Can we talk after the show? And I said, absolutely. And maybe if I feel comfortable, I'll give you something for the article. And then she came and watched the show and she left immediately and wrote an article. That, and I get your point. Had I said something, it might have, things might have turned out a lot differently. But we also
I'm definitely on your side that everything seems to have happened is fucked up. But
and we assumed when she, we knew who she was when she came to the show. And she sat through a show that had 35 people on in the show. In the bar, we had people of all different races, sexualities, orientations in the audience. We had a gay black comic on stage. It's not like we did that to be like, look at us, we're diverse, right? Like, just happened. He wanted stage time. And I watched her laugh at everybody all night. I watched her laugh in tears at people all night. But none of that was represented. You know what I mean? Right. like, it was like... But that she said she felt my favorite thing is she said she felt intimidated, which is why she wouldn't talk to me after the show. And I'm like, but you're supposed to be a reporter, like Woodward and Bernstein, like what would have happened if they would have been too intimidated to meet in a park in a garage at night? Like, you know what I mean? Like you can't be intimidated to talk to a comedian if you're going to write an article about it. It's stupid.
Yeah, these passive aggressive people. I don't know.
My big thing is too is like I've been trying to address them one on one online with what I feel like is very reasonable, well thought out responses, and they just never respond to me. But then they go and respond to other people and leave more comments, and I'm like,
right,
I said to a guy last night, I was like, you know, I wrote a big response to you and you never even said anything to it, but here you are making more comments on the same post and liking other things. It's like, well, those are two different things. That other one takes more time and energy. And I'm like,
oh. Yeah, well, that's another cop out that I hear a lot is just, oh, I'm very busy. I just didn't read that. And like, when I did send an email off to Yuck Yucks when I found out that I was blacklisted and kind of gave my side of it. And I got a response, like, but she answered that email within like an hour, but said, oh, I wasn't ignoring your previous emails. I'm just very busy.
Yeah.
Like, no, well, I know at least one person spoke to you on the phone. So,
yeah.
The I don't have time for that is just kind of a lazy cop out when you can't defend yourself.
Yeah. And everyone's busy. I hate that excuse. It's like, well, I'm very busy. Unlike the rest of, you know, everyone's fucking busy. Like, you can find time or just don't and fuck off. Like, that's it. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm busy at work all day, too. But if somebody sends me an email in the morning, I generally try to answer it before I leave for the day, regardless of how busy I am, because that's what my job is.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's just everything. I just want I'm torn between wanting everything to just die down and go away and wanting to fight them tooth and nail. And I don't know. I don't know.
Well, about the people that want you to submit jokes, that's obviously very unreasonable for an okay. But I was thinking about it, and like it would be nice to not necessarily to submit it as to whether I can do this or not. But sometimes I write a joke, and I'm like, I wish I could just ask a trans person if this is okay.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be that guy. It's like, hey, you're a trans, so what do you think about my joke?
Yeah.
But if somebody wanted to volunteer to be like the gay guy, the black person, or the trans person, that if you're questionable, like what? Because I've got a trans joke that I don't think comes from a place of hate.
Yeah.
And I think it's not offensive, but I can see like, well, yeah, somebody that doesn't have a sense of humor is probably going to find this offensive. Mm-hmm. But I wish I could, not so much that they could give me permission to say it or not, but just if I say this, does that hurt your feelings?
Yeah.
And what about it does? And then I can do with that information what I choose. It would be nice to have, if there was somebody to volunteer, that if you wanted to be like, is this offensive to women?
Yeah, I think what you're saying is like just having somebody that understands jokes, but also it comes from the kind of group that you're talking about, that you could kind of maybe be like, hey man, I got this idea. But see, my thing is and this is another thing, some guy, Travis Lindsay, corrected this guy last night, but some guy was like, I've seen him multiple times and he tells multiple offensive trans jokes. And Travis is like, you fucking liar. He has one. He has one joke and it's been telling it for over a year and a half. Like one joke. And mine wasn't, when I wrote the joke, like you, I knew it wasn't coming from a place of hate or hurt.
Right.
But my test wasn't to go and find somebody and be like, you know, blah, blah, blah. My test was I did it not in front of a trans person, just because there wasn't there, but I did it in front of a crowd that had quite a few people of the gay and lesbian community in it. Mm-hmm. And after the show, and I'm not lying, I had two or three of them come up to me and say that they thought it was probably one of the most respectful trans jokes they've ever heard. And to me, that was my test. It passed. You know, and I know that not everyone's going to agree with that, but that these were people whose opinions I respected, who I thought were intelligent, and I was like, well, that's it. That's all I needed here. You know, boom, done. You know?
Yeah, because you got to get out of your own head sometimes and just ask for somebody else to take a look at it with a fresh pair of eyes.
Yeah. And so, you know, I don't know. It's stupid. And, I mean, I lost a show already because of it. So, it's kind of unfortunate.
I find myself struggling with the idea that on the one hand, we as comedians, we can say, like, nothing's off limits. We're supposed to say horrible stuff. And it's just a joke anyway. Who cares? Nobody's going to get hurt. But on the other hand, I really believe that comedy can be a force for good and to address stuff that nobody wants to talk about and shine a light on it so we can see it. So I struggle with the idea that I really think that comedy can be a force for good, but at the same time I'm saying it's not hurting anybody. What's your problem?
Yeah, I guess I see what you're saying there is it's one thing to say because I believe, like you believe, that it can be a force for good. And I talked about this with the whole trans thing, and the reason why I even can make jokes about it on stage is because I've seen a comedian do it, which made me feel comfortable with who I am as a person to be able to talk about it. But then on the flip side, if you're just like, well, just say whatever we want, none of it matters. Well, then you can't have none of it matters and then have some of it matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no examples of somebody telling a joke which directly led to, like, this horrible thing happening.
Yeah.
And there's the idea, like, oh, well, it adds to the culture.
I've my own issues with the whole culture and this and create this, but you can't. It's hard too for me to have an opinion because every time I do, it's thrown back in my face. Well, you're just a straight white man, and it's like, oh, I'm sorry. That's how I came out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and people are allowed to get upset at stuff. That's their free speech as much as ours.
Yeah.
But to try to like stop other people from hearing this, like, I think it gives it too much weight to think like these ideas are so powerful it's going to completely turn society against trans people, so they cannot be heard.
And
that's a bit too far.
And I do agree that people have a right to be offended and have their, and that is their free speech. But I also think like there's just it's reasonable reactions to everything. If you're offended by something that I've said and I reach out to you and I say, hey man, I didn't mean to be offensive in what I said, do you want to talk about it? And you go, oh no, you scare me, I feel threatened when just by your presence. I will not walk to my car at night by myself, even though you have no idea what I look like or where I live. Shut the fuck up. You're not. What it reminds me of is these people that I'm dealing with right now, and this is might be a little bit of a controversial statement to make, come off to me a lot like Al Sharpton. Not necessarily interested in the real cause, but interested in the waves, because they've been in the media several times before about several different things. They're interested in that part of it and not the reality, not the truth. That's my opinion. I don't know.
And the media is more interested in people that are upset about something rather than just like, look at all these people having a good time with a comedy show. Yay.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I actually did I did an interview for the Chronicle Herald this week because they called me. They sent me an email like, hey, we want to talk to you about the state of Halifax comedy. And I just rolled my eyes. I'm like, oh, here we go. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to try to handle this the best I can. If the topic comes up, I'll just try to defend myself the best I can, and we'll see how this lands, right? And then they called me up, and we had this nice fluffy interview about Halifax Comedy leading up to the Halifax Comedy Fest and what the local scene is like while the Halifax Comedy Fest isn't here, and who runs the shows, and like what cool things have happened for people, and are there mentors out there, and nothing about the whole fucking thing. So I'm just like, oh, okay. This is comedy. Did you know about it? Type of story. And I was like, and then I realized not a lot of people know about this shit that I'm going through or care.
Yeah, I always, the radio show is different. I'll pontificate on there, but anytime I'm hosting one of my own shows and I talk about like whatever behind the scenes comedy bullshit that I got into, nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
It bombs, and I'm like, why do I keep bringing
this? I also had, I was in the liquor store the other day, and you know how they, sometimes liquor stores, they have, like, free sample, like, oh, you want to try this? And this girl goes, would you like to try a Radler? And I'm like, nah, I really like Radlers. I don't get the whole mixing beer with fruit. It's stupid, right? And then she goes, so you're the comedian. And I looked around. I'm like, maybe? Like, and she goes, no, from Yuck Yucks. So I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's me. That's definitely me. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't. I didn't want a talk radio moment where she opened up her jacket and shot me in front of everybody. So I was not that I think it's coming to that, but I might shoot myself.
So what are some of the things that you think that we disagree on that you wanted to
I think we touched, like, you know, the comic, are you a comic, are you not? Like, what the point I was trying to make when I said disagree, not agree on, is like the reason why, what I discovered through your podcast is what I'm saying is, like, I remember when I first listened to your podcast and you would be like, oh, the corporate yucks comes in and they blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why are you saying that, dude? You're just shooting yourself in the fucking foot. But the more I listened to it, I was like, oh, he's not being a dick. It's just, it's a sense of humor. It's how he's presenting it for the radio show. I don't know. I'm trying to think of any specific incidents I might have had in the top of my head at the beginning of the show and just kind of rambled out through talking because I don't make notes or anything. I'm not that professional. I don't know. Like, I know. Okay, here's one, for example. Let's just have a healthy debate about this. I don't care that you headlined a show in New Brunswick and you bombed the fuck out of it. I don't care. Mm-hmm. It happens to everybody. But did you think it was an appropriate time for you to take a headlining thing, or did you just think it was like, you know what, the opportunity is given to me, I'm going to take it? Because I do think in comedy,
it was given to me and I took it.
Yeah.
I was expecting to have a better show than I did.
Yeah.
And I learned from it. So I, like, it went as bad as it could have, and I don't regret doing it.
Yeah.
There were certain parts of it that if I had done it over again, then I would have done differently. And if I was, that was a year ago, actually today.
Oh, really?
Recording this on Sunday. Facebook's great for reminding you of your
failures. Wonderful. Yeah.
So yeah, April 23rd last year was when I did it. And it just came about, like, I'm not going to say no to it. Troy had posted on Facebook, like, just people looking for suggestions for headliners for the fall, and I kind of jokingly said John Forward. And then he sent me a message saying, like, he's impressed with me lately for, he said something about, like, that I'm reaching for that brass ring and he wanted to help me out, and I was cocky enough to say yes, and it was what it was.
Yeah.
If I was doing a show tonight, then I would have done better. And even so, that was my first technically headline show, but I was only supposed to do a half hour. Mm-hmm. And I had done a half hour a few times at my own show at O'Leary's, and it was no big deal. But that was a different context. And just like my bomb in Halifax, like, every time that I have something like that where I go in expecting to do well and just doing awful, it kind of gives me a kick in the ass to figure out what went wrong and try to avoid that in the future.
And do you think there's always going to be people out there that are just going to highlight the bombs just because of their own personal reasons? Like, no one's, it's like we said about going back to the newspaper thing, you know, you had that bomb and it was highly talked about online, but no one's ever talking about the good ones. You know what I mean? They're not just like,
Well, people do talk about the good ones too. Every time I have a good show, people post great set that I had that night. And my return to the Delta in Fredericton a couple of months ago was for, like, a battle of the comedians. Not that contests are everything, but I killed it. And I won that round of the contest just based on, and that one felt good because it was just based on crowd response. Nobody had any vested interest. It's not like, well, it's the winner of this show that's going to screw up this other thing that's going to happen next week. Like, nobody, the winner of it, it wasn't like an audition for this other show that the person has going, yeah. like some contests are, and it was, and there wasn't any politics involved with it. It was just a room full of people that went to see a comedy show, and they clapped the loudest for the one they liked the most.
Yeah, contests are, I think we probably agree on this, are the worst. Like, in that context, doesn't sound that bad. But in
they
whole,
can be, but it yeah. doesn't stop me from feeling good about myself if I win.
Oh, yeah.
If I lose,
I'm the same
I'm
way.
Like, oh, this is just some stupid thing that doesn't matter anyway.
That's why I don't think I would enter. One of the reasons I don't enter contests is a lot of them are for amateur levels, and I consider myself a professional comedian, and I just yeah. don't want to do an amateur competition. But another reason being that I know if I lose to someone who I think is below me, and I don't mean that in an ignorant way, how I feel, that I'm going to feel very shitty about myself, and I'm going to feel very angry. And if I win, I'm going to feel good, but then did I just beat a bunch of people who are very below me? And I'm like,
yeah.
You know, it's that fine line, yeah, for me at least. I don't know.
And this one was different. This was booked, and they were three established comedians, and we took turns doing 3 5-minute sets each throughout the night, and then they just had a applause thing at the end for the winner.
Yeah, I think that's a little different. Like, I know, like, Absolute Comedy has Prove Your Headliner. It's a competition. So it's to take guys that are already pros and already work in the clubs, but to give them to show that they might be ready to yeah. close out the show. Stuff like that, I think, is way different than...
And it's a good marketing hook, just putting on a show, that it's a contest. The same reason, like, nobody cares who wins the battle of the band.
Yeah.
But people will go to the show just to see a bunch of bands. And
that's interesting. I never thought about a local competition like that as like a battle of the bands, like as yeah. kind of doing it like that. That's
But if it's a battle where like the winner of this gets to do this show on here, or they get to be named the funniest
person.
Whatever.
They get a statue that doesn't have their name on it, but has the name of the host.
Yeah, I think for some reason, the less it matters and the lower the stakes, I think the more true it would be, which I'm just saying because I won one of those ones.
Yeah.
Who knows? And it's going to go to a next round. He had three of those battles, and the three winners there are going to compete with each other.
That would be
round.
A solid show then. Not that the other ones won't, but like when you have a show that's the three winners, then you're guaranteed at the end is a very solid show.
Yeah, and it's a good show anyway. Like yeah. Troy's battle shows, they've taken different forms over the years. I've done a few of them, but this one he had a host and two opening acts, and that was the first half of the show, and then the second half was the three battlers doing their 3 5-minute sets.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I hope next year for the James Mullinger Comedy Boot Camp, the winner has to get James Mullinger's name tattooed on their body. That's what I'm demanding. I'm like, and I want to fit James Mullinger's name on the poster at least four more times. That's all I want. I just want it on there. A lot. I just like making fun of the fact that his name is everywhere.
Yeah.
That thing is just so hilarious to me. Oh, man. But yeah, back to the Fredericton thing, it's like my initial reaction was like, and I get it, because you're always torn as a comic. Like, you don't want to turn down an opportunity, because if you turn it down, does the opportunity roll around? Do you take it when you're not ready for it? But, I mean, the way you're kind of explaining it to me, it would have made sense, I think, for you to take it at the time. And then, of course, I mean, on my part, I'll admit fault on my end when the whole blog post came out. You know, I had a little bit of blind loyalty to somebody that I shouldn't have. And, I was like, oh, then fuck this and fuck that. And because I felt like my friend's upset, so I'm upset.
And that was one sentence out of like 1,000 words.
Exactly. And it took me, like, at the time, I remember being like, ah, fuck it, and upset. And now I'm just like, oh, that was very foolish of you to have that reaction. It was stupid.
Well, you have the reaction that you have. Yeah. Just what you do with it is what differentiates people, I guess.
Yeah. I always try when it comes to like anything. Like, I know this sounds really weird because I'm doing a podcast where I'm specifically talking about comedy that goes on the internet. But when it comes to Facebook or like Twitter or blogs, I've had instances where I wanted to write something or say something about something. And then Andrew Evans, a friend of mine, has always told me, like, treat it like a marriage. If you were fighting with your wife, would you go on Facebook and be like, my wife's a huge cunt. Like, and I'm like, maybe, I don't know. I hope not, but that's, maybe just to use the word cunt. I think that's probably why I would do it. I don't know. I like that word too much. But yeah, like I just found, like, I mean, you said earlier in the show, we don't really know each other that much. And I feel like I'm getting to know you better through your radio show. And that's why that's why I kind of wanted to have you on. And to talk about some of these things and talk about Flyergate, and hopefully people that may have an issue with you or people that don't know you will now listen to this and want to listen to your radio show and see that you're not an unreasonable, hard to get along with, you know, asshole. You can talk to him. You have your thoughts and your opinions. And that's kind of why when I was listening to the radio show, I was like, I'm going to message him, see if he's interested. And like, not that we went crazy deep or fucking fought with each other, but just like, you know, just to kind of like get it out there, you know?
Yeah. Well, if you want to fight, I take issue with something that you said on the last episode with Dan Hendrick.
Okay. Was it the gay character?
You guys were talking some trash about wearing graphic tees on stage.
Oh. Put my foot down. All right. I used to do it all the time, but personally for me, I just felt it was too distracting after a point, so I just like stopped doing it.
Well, I'm only joking bringing that up.
Yeah, I know.
But I do wear graphic tees, but I don't know.
Yeah, but you wear your No Jokes Bard shirt. That's great, right? Like.
Yeah, I do some shows. Some shows I just, okay. It's like a movie thing or a band shirt or something. Like, I don't know. I feel like if my T-shirt is more interesting than my material, then I deserve to bomb.
Oh, yeah. You're talking to a guy that's becoming a suit comic now, so don't worry.
Well, is a suit less distracting than a T-shirt with something printed on it?
Yeah, but I think a suit says, please suck my dick more than a T-shirt with something printed on it, which is what I'm trying to go for.
Well, fair enough.
No. I don't know. I like the suit. It makes me feel... I guess, that's the argument here. I'm like, don't wear a T-shirt with something on it. And now I'm like, but I like the suit because it makes me feel comfortable. And I guess the opposite side is, well, the T-shirt makes me feel comfortable. And then I'm like, okay, now we're both on the same fucking page.
When I first started hosting my show at the R Bar, I wore like a suit jacket over top of my T-shirt. And I did that for about 3 months. And I just didn't feel comfortable in it. And I like just being on the radio. And I talk about myself a lot on stage and on the radio, so I might as well look the way that I usually do if I'm going to talk about myself this much. And that's just part of the wearing a goofy T-shirt for me is the same as when somebody comes out and says, I look like this, crossed with this, and I can't think of a big laugh. It's just kind of a shortcut to this is part of what kind of a person I am. I'm the type of person who would wear this shirt in public.
No, it makes sense. It's one of those things where, like, for me personally, I just stopped it. Like, if I'm at an open mic, I'll wear a fucking whatever I had on earlier that day. But if I'm, like, at a club or something, I'm just like, all right, take the shirt off with the wrestler on it. Put on a button-up shirt at least. So, now I know you brought that up in jest, but that's a good point. I think it proved that maybe I am a little hypocritical. I know I'm hypocritical still in my opinions and my thoughts about stuff.
Well, I just want everyone to know that I have a strong No Shirts Bard policy.
This is the new show, No Shirts Bard, coming to St. John. The third one. We don't do any jokes. We're just allowed to wear whatever shirts we want on stage. Can I not wear a shirt?
Yeah, stand there and people will look at the shirt.
She'll be like, that's nice. I get it. It's good. I like that. And then one guy's like, every show that we got to have one guy without a shirt just to show the other side of the story.
Yeah, you have to have a good variety.
Exactly, yeah. We're almost at an hour and a half here, which is generally where I like to keep the time for the podcast, unless I'm drunk, and then we do 3 to 4 hours, and I'm not drunk because I've been doing that too much lately. But I appreciate you coming on, man. Do you have any shows you want to plug, your upcoming shows, or tell people where you can get your radio show?
Really, just... in St. John, just the usual, my No Jokes Bar at the R Bar, the regular, more open mic style one. That's the third Saturday every month. It's pay what you can, no cover. And then No Jokes Bar Deluxe, which is more of, I guess you'd call it a showcase. Mm-hmm. There's fewer people doing longer sets, and in that one, it's more selectively chosen. And there's a steep cover charge of $7, but it comes with a shot at the door. So,
oh my God, I want to come now. Just I mean, I enjoy comedy, but I also enjoy shots. So I might just take the 5-hour trip up.
Yeah, and that's the one that I think, like the Arbar show, the one that's been going for almost 3 years now, has pretty solid attendance most of the time. We have a slow night every now and then, but I feel like the No Jokes Bar Deluxe one is, and that's what I was handing out flyers for. That one has the more opportunity for growth. It's still No Jokes Barred, but it's a little bit less of a scary proposition to a curious Yuck Yucks fan than it would be to go to the R Bar, which is kind of a rougher joint.
Because
O'Leary's is a nice room, and it's separate from everything else, so everybody that's in the room wants to be there. You don't really have to deal with somebody who's just there because they're there that night. So it's even when there's only a dozen people, it's like a small intimate room, like the Goofy Moose, thing like that, where a small crowd, if it's a good group of 10 people, then it feels,
that
like,
feels like a great show. Yeah. All right, man. And your radio show.
Yep. You can listen to it Monday nights, 9 to 10 Atlantic. If you're in Halifax, you can listen to it on localfm.ca. And then Wednesdays, I usually post it up on my Podbean site, which gets linked over to johnforward.com.
Cool. I'm coming back to St. John soon in July, Canada Day weekend, and then again at the end of August. So it'd be nice to hook up maybe and see what's going on. Thank you very much for coming on the show, man. Anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
No, thanks for having me.
Okay, man. Well, I'm going to hang up on you here. Thank you again. I'm telling you I'm hanging up on you so that I don't just go beep, and then you're like, what the fuck? But no, man, I really appreciate it. It's been a great chat. Thank you very much for joining us. Have a good week. Do whatever the fuck. I don't know how to end this. This is weird and awkward. All right. Talk to you later,
you
man.
You too. Try not to get stabbed with a pitchfork or a torch.
Oh, I'm up for that. That turns me on. So, okay. See you, man.
All right. Yeah,
bye.
Bye.
And that was our guest, John Forward, on the show with us today. I thought it was a good conversation. John's a divisive person amongst some people, which I don't think he should be. I think that's a little ridiculous. Let's just all kind of chill out. There's more important things to worry about. And just be funny. Talk a little, just a couple more notes here. I'm going to plug my dates and stuff like that. And
I'm not booked.
Yeah, that's how we start off plugging my dates with I'm not booked. That's the alternative title for this podcast. I am at the Halifax Comedy Festival Thursday night, Not Made For TV, where I am hosting a show at 9 o'clock featuring some amazing comics, and Deborah DiGiovanni is one of them. DJ Damaris is another, and I can't remember off the top of my head who the other person is. That's Thursday, and then on May 10th, I'm back in my hometown, Bridgewater, Nova Scotia, for a Yuck Yuck gig, hosting. I think Dan Hendrickson is co-headlining with Carrie Lee. I'm not entirely sure. I should write this shit down. This information's not on my website yet, but it will be out soon. I've been a little slow to put dates up on my website, mostly because I didn't want to give these people contact information to email places and be like, get this fucking homophobe off the show, stuff like that. But I'm going to update my website. And June 10th, if all else fails, my album is going to be recorded. Hopefully. I think we're going to call it Where's My Fucking Apology, Rebecca? I think that's what we're really going to call it, because Rebecca was the reporter who grossly made some inaccuracies about me and about my act and about who I am. And she apologized to Frank Russo for fucking up, but did not apologize to me. So I think the album is going to be called Where's My Fucking Apology, Rebecca? And I've also made a t-shirt. I just made one last night and ordered it online that says Where's My Fucking Apology, Rebecca? As well as a Mega Comedy Mondays t-shirt and some other t-shirts. I think about, I don't know if I'll make them public for sale, but they're for me. If you're interested, let me know. Check out my website, andrewvaughncomedy.ca. Rate, subscribe, listen on iTunes. You guys have been fantastic. Once again, big thanks to my guest, John Forward, for coming on the show. Have a wonderful week. Hopefully be back next week with another guest, as I'm really struggling and trying to get this on every week. Have a good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to another engrossing episode of My Comedy Week with Andrew Vaughn. This week's guest was
John Forward.
Take care. Tune in. Subscribe. Share. Rate. Thank you.
I'm not... I'm not booked. I'm not booked. I'm not booked.